May we pray. Thank you, good and gracious God, for another day, for another opportunity to live in relationship with you and with one another. We pray today for your Holy Spirit to draw near to all who yearn for your presence. Help us, Lord, with the struggles that we face, with our limitations, even with our sin. Pour out your grace upon us today and offer your forgiveness once again to all who seek you. Today, Lord, as we pray, we ask that you would anoint the words from the Scriptures to penetrate our hearts in ways that transform us more and more into the likeness of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, friends, I have good news and I have bad news. The bad news is we are only in chapter 2 of 42 chapters of Job. The good news is we're going to summarize about 35 chapters today. We're focusing just on the very end of chapter 2 this morning. Those three verses in Job chapter 2. And as I was thinking about Job and his friends, I was reminded of some wisdom provided by John and Paul and George and Ringo, who said, "What would you think if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song, and I'll try not to sing out of key." Do you know the rest of this? "I get by with a little help from my friends." Well, if you haven't been following along with chapters 1 and 2 of Job, then you may not realize that Job's gone through a very difficult season. In chapter 1, he's lost his wealth and possessions. He's lost his children. In Job chapter 2, he's lost his health. At the end of chapter 2, there's a glimpse of hope in that three of his friends enter the discussion. In these opening verses of these of our reading today of Job chapter 2, verses 11 through 13, Job's three friends do a number of wise and helpful things for their grieving friend. We would be wise to take note. The first thing we learn from Job's friends is that Job's friends showed up. They showed up. Verse 11 says, "When Job's three friends, Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, heard about all the troubles that had come upon him, they set out from their homes and met together by agreement to go and sympathize with him and comfort him." I want you to pay attention to the intentionality that Job's friends showed. It says they met together by agreement. I don't know how they got the word. It wasn't texting. There wasn't social media. But somehow they had learned from the distant parts of the area in which they lived that Job was in a bit of trouble. And so they met together by agreement. Some translations say by appointment. Listen to the intentionality of Job's friends. They had heard the news. Obviously, it took some time to reach them. They contacted one another, which took even more time in order to correspond back and forth. And yet they agreed to come together to encourage Job. One author said that if you had one friend who would drop everything and come running, that would be wonderful. But to have three friends who would do such a thing, that is truly amazing. Over the years, I've had many conversations with people who often say things like, "You know, I'd like to go visit so-and-so in the hospital, but I don't know what to say. Or I feel like I should go to the calling hours, but I just don't know what to say." Chuck Swindoll said this, 90% of ministry is just showing up. It's just showing up. In fact, what I tell folks when they say, I don't know what to say, I often say, you know, you will have said enough the moment you walk in the door. I've visited a lot of people in the hospital over the years, and I've been to too many calling hours to remember, and I would suspect that the people that I have visited in those moments, much like the people that you have visited in those moments, won't remember a word that you have said. But they will remember that you were there. I was reflecting on this past week as I was thinking about those times in my life when I was the recipient of that kind of ministry. Most recently, a year and a half ago, when my mom passed away. And I was thinking about those few hours in that little funeral home in my hometown, an hour and a half away. And as I looked around the room, it was one of those surreal moments when people from different walks of my life showed up together in the same place. They didn't know each other, but they knew me. There was my friend Rich from a church on the east side of Columbus. There was my friend Tina from a church in Circleville. There was my friend Sarah from a church in Plain City. There were three people from Riverside who came to my mom's funeral, and I wasn't even your pastor yet. I can't tell you how that spoke volumes of grace and mercy and love into my life. I don't remember a word those folks said during that time, but I do remember that they were there. Job's friends showed up. We should take note of that. A second thing that Job's friends did that we might want to be wise to pay attention to is that Job's friends mourned with him. They mourned with him. In verse 12, Job chapter 2, verse 12, it says, when they saw him from a distance, they could hardly recognize him. They began to weep aloud, and they tore their robes and sprinkled dust on their heads. The practice of tearing the robes and sprinkling dust is an old tradition that symbolizes mourning or repentance even. We know earlier in Job chapter 2 that Job did this very thing as an act of mourning. And so when Job's friends arrive on the scene, they join him in his mourning. That passage we read from Romans 12 today had a lot of wise and helpful statements. But the one that I want to focus on today is verse 15. It simply says, rejoice with those who rejoice, and mourn with those who mourn. A friend texted me yesterday to let me know that his mother had passed away. It was not unexpected. It was not unexpected. But my response to him was simply this. I am rejoicing with your mother because I know where she is. But I am mourning with you because I know where you are. See, the reality is we all grieve because all grief is loss. Someone shared with me a statement that has really impacted my life over the past few years. It's a statement by a woman named Jamie Anderson. And she said this, that grief is really love with no place to go. Let me give you the full quote. It says, grief, I've learned, is really just love. It's all the love that you want to give but cannot. And all that unspent love gathers up in the corners of your eyes, the lump in your throat, and in that hollow part of your chest. Grief is just love with no place to go. I don't know Jamie Anderson, but she surely understands what people are going through when they grieve. When I was a young pastor, I remember visiting Judy. She had just lost a granddaughter. It was a June afternoon, and Judy was sitting on her front porch, and so I joined her, sitting in one of the rocking chairs on the front porch, and we sat for a while just in silence. And then she said this. I'll never forget this. She said, "You know, Pastor Dave, I used to think I had all the answers, but now I think I haven't even begun asking the right questions." I remember crying with Judy on that front porch that day as God was teaching me how to mourn with those who mourn. That's what Job's friends did. We would be wise to imitate them. A third thing that Job's friends did is that they listened to Job. They listened to him. Verse 13 says, "When they sat on the ground with him for 7 days and 7 nights, no one said a word to him because they saw how great his suffering was." This is part of a Jewish tradition of sitting with a loved one or a family during a time of mourning for 7 days. But pay attention that they didn't say a word to him. Back to my comment earlier about folks who say, "I just don't know what to say." You know, when we listen more than we talk, we won't have to worry about what to say. We will have said enough. There's a quote attributed to Abraham Lincoln that says, "It's better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak and to remove all doubt." Are you a good listener? Do you take time to listen to those who are hurting? Some of my favorite people in the world are healthcare professionals, those that you know that are doing it as a calling. I read an article from, it was written by a registered nurse, and she was talking about the importance of listening to her patients. And she said, "When we listen to our patients, we pay attention to their nonverbal cues. And when we listen to our patients, we pay attention to our nonverbal cues. We don't take notes on charts when we listen to our patients. We don't interrupt or speak over them. We use appropriate touch if the patient seems upset, and we ask for clarifying questions when needed." It's good advice. Not just for healthcare professionals, but for those of us who want to reach out and heal a broken world. Simply stated, good listening involves more questions than it does answers. Questions like, "How are you? How can I help? What's bothering you?" See, the bottom line, friends, is that actions always speak louder than words. They always do. And Job's friends seem to understand this, at least for the 3 verses that we read today. Now, I told you earlier that I was going to summarize the next 30 chapters. Let me do it this way. The next 30 chapters of Job, all the way through about chapter 32 or so, involve dialogue between Job and his 3 friends. And here's where they kind of mess up. They start to try to find a reason for Job's suffering. They begin to deal with the theology of the day that says, well, if bad things are happening to you, it must mean that you've done some bad things. And they begin to say to Job, "Job, if you would just admit what you did was wrong, then you could start to heal." But we learn not only from what God says about Job, but also from what Job says about Job, that he maintains his integrity, that he really hadn't done anything wrong, especially anything to deserve what he was going through. I think we make a grave mistake when we try to fix things that can't be fixed, when we try to explain things that can't be explained. I think we would be far better simply by showing up and listening, loving. I know there are many of you who have been part of a Kairos weekend, and there's a mantra, I'm told, those of you who've served. It's so something like this, right? Listen, listen, love, love. Is that right, Jamie? Listen, listen, love, love. I can't tell you the number of times I've visited someone in a hospital and they've thanked me for coming. I always say this. You'd do it for me, wouldn't you? And invariably, that patient will say, in a moment, I would be there. See, if you want to help someone who is suffering, practice the golden rule. Do you remember the golden rule that Jesus taught us in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12? Jesus said at the very end of the Sermon on the Mount, "So in everything, do to others what you would have them do unto you." Do to others what you'd have them do unto you. So the next time you're thinking about whether or not you should visit someone in the hospital and you're afraid of what you might have to say, or whether or not you should show up at the calling hours, maybe fearful of what you might say, just ask yourself, would you want them to come see you if you were hurting, if you were sick, if you were grieving? Truth is, we need each other. And I think maybe that's why this story of Job and his friends are included in the scriptures. They remind us of the importance of being there for one another, showing up, rejoicing with those who rejoice, mourning with those who mourn, listening to those, perhaps, that no one else takes the time to listen to. We need each other. This past week was celebration of Martin Luther King's birthday. And I'll share a quote with you that is attributed to MLK. He said, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. We must learn to live together as brothers and sisters, or perish together as fools." Maybe that's what Paul was trying to impress upon the church in Rome when he said, "Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in love, and honor one another above yourselves." Maybe that's what he meant when he said, "Share with the Lord's people who are in need and practice hospitality." Maybe that's what Paul meant when he said, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." I don't know who it is in your life that may need for you to show up this week. But I want to give you something to do today. If someone comes to your mind this afternoon, or in your prayer time tomorrow morning, if the Lord lays a name on your heart, do everything you can to communicate with that person. Send a card. Send a text. Knock on their door. Happened to me yesterday. I was driving home from Walmart, of all places. And I began thinking about my friend Mua, who lives in the northern part of Vietnam. Normally, I would just kind of dismiss some of those thoughts, but it became very clear to me that I needed to reach out to him. And so when I got home, even though it was an 11-hour difference and he was sound asleep on what would have been for him Sunday morning, I sent Mua a message through Facebook Messenger that says, "Thinking about you today and praying for you." I have no way of knowing why or if he needed to hear that. I just know that I needed to send it. And my prayer for you today is that you experience things this week when you will know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you need to send that message or make that call, to write that note, or to show up in places where God is sending you. When we do, the light of Jesus shines all the brighter. Amen. Let's pray together. God, thank you for the message found in the book of Job. A message as true to us today as it was to those who first heard it. The world is hurting. There is brokenness all around us. And yes, Lord, there is brokenness in our lives. But you've called us to be part of your healing ministry in the world. Even though we be wounded healers, we can offer the healing touch of your love by reaching out to one another, by showing up, by listening, by loving. May we do so as you call us and send us into this world. In Jesus' name we pray.